Okay, we're in Shaarei Teshuvah, still in chapter 1. And he discusses over here a failure of a person in one aspect of life. Just one aspect of life. Hashone avera achat, a person does one avera 10 times, even though he's careful with the rest of the Torah. Imagine, say 630 mitzvot. He's careful with 612. There's one mitzvah which he doesn't do. A lot of people say, for example, as a shaves with a razor. Keep the whole Torah. But they grew up shaving with a razor. And for them, it's very hard to stop because, like a habit, they don't realize that you can get electric shavers, Norelco, which are very, very close. Remember, I shaved with an electric shaver when I went to, I used to go to class many years ago with Israelis. I said, Rabbi, use a razor, right? So, what are you talking about? I said, Norelco. He said, what? Really? Yeah, you don't realize. It's nearly as close. Today you can have these shavers that shave with a cream. You can put cream in shaving cream. They don't work like a blade. They work like a scissor. Scissors are allowed. Blades are not allowed. So let's give an example. Guy shaves with a razor. And everything else he does, he got used to shaving with a razor. So what happens? He did it many times. Even though he's careful, all the others fought. I know who can exchav kover lavirot halikot. He's considered as if he transgressed many avirot. This is wild. So he only breaks one. But since he did so many times, it's if he did many. If the Nazirite, so Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Right? He can drink other alcoholic beverages, no problem. He's not allowed to drink wine. He's not even allowed to have grape juice. He's not allowed to have grapes. So what happened is, the Nazir wants, he has a glass of wine over there. And we tell the guy, don't drink it. And we tell him, and he drinks it. And we tell him again, don't drink it. And he drinks more. He gets punished for everyone that he drank. He was warned, and he drank. He was warned again, he drank. He was warned again and drank. Imagine, every time he's warned and he drinks, it's another sin. He gets more punishments. Everyone is a separate punishment. Same thing a person eating treif. He's eating non-kosher food, and there's a guy over there, comes there, hey, don't do that, it's not kosher. He eats. Not kosher, he eats. You know, kosher every time is a separate punishment. It's every kazait is separate. And it applies to everything. So he says, this is talking about in the 1300s. Because he says, this is talking about the 1300s. In Spain and France. So Rabbi Yonos would move from Spain to France, So he says, this is the sin that we see in many people in the generation. That what? That they keep... They keep most mitzvot, but one mitzvah, two mitzvot, they're very lax on. So there's many people who are careful all their lives to keep away from doing sins, but there's one or two mitzvot which they have trouble with, and for them it's like allowed. They make it as if it's allowed. He says, Choli rahu benafsham. This is a terrible sickness in their souls. So even though they keep many things, and they keep all the strict mitzvot, nevertheless, some mitzvot they're very lax at. For example, he says, in those days, what were they lax at? Swearing. They would take God's name, swear and by God's name. Or they would curse people. Very common in those days, cursing people. They would curse. Or they would say God's name in vain. So all these were mitzvot, like today we say, blinei, people get say, used to blinei. They would make vows, they would make oaths. They weren't careful. Or they would eat bread without washing hands. Something like that. So these are small things, but they're big things. If they're repeated over and over again, they become a person's second nature. Looking at things a person shouldn't look at. Bitul tamu Torah kenei kulam. And not learning Torah, it's a very big nisayon. Not learning Torah. A person sitting down in their house, and they're doing 50 other things, but they could have been spending time learning Torah. Today it's so easy to learn Torah. I have art scroll at my fingertips. I have all these books on my fingertips today. It's all, you have apps, free apps. You can buy the whole Torah, you don't have to buy anything. You have a smartphone, download the app. Safaria. You have Safaria, fingertips. You have Daf Yomi, fingertips. You have Daf HaChaim, fingertips. All these things are there, very easy to learn. They make it so easy today, it's worse. For us it's worse, why? It's easy, it's right at your fingertips. So the brother says, you know, I got the whole Torah on my fingertips, but I go look at the news instead. Okay, you gotta look at the news. How many times do you look at the news? You wanna look at the news for 2 hours or 3 hours? There's no limits to it. So we're just gonna know, we're gonna try and minimize on the waste of time and learn more Torah. or turning a blind eye to a poor person. You have guys who come along collecting money. I don't know if they're poor or not poor, whatever they are, but turning a blind eye, it's a bad habit. The guy passed you by, I didn't see him. I didn't see the guy. He just came in. I don't know who he is. Close my eyes. So a person, it's good to keep a diary. That's what he's saying. A person should keep a diary. What are my weak points? How much time do I waste every day? It's amazing. If you work out how much time we waste every day, we'd be astonished. And then you multiply that by 365, you say, gosh, how many years of my life did I waste? It's amazing. How many years of our lives did we waste? Every minute adds up. Every minute adds up. So that's talking about the bad side. Now we come to the good side. Now we want to do teshuva. We want to repent from these things. He says there are many different levels of teshuva. Teshuva is not black and white. It's white and gray and gray and gray and gray and gray and black. There's many different levels of teshuva. Because teshuva depends on four things. What are the four things? Number one, admit. So a guy says, you know, okay, I did something. I don't know if it's wrong. I don't know if it's right. I'm not sure. I don't know if I did it. Admit. David HaMelech comes along and he says, Chatati Lashem. He didn't argue, he didn't debate, he didn't say, maybe, I'm not sure. He said, I sinned to God. Straight away, boom. That's admit. It's hard to admit. So there's different kinds of admission. You get a guy who's squirming in his chair. You ever been to the principal in school? Anyone been to the principal? Yeah. Principal says, did you do that? I'm not sure, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, extenuating circumstances. So a person can give all sorts of what's called terutzim. In Hebrew they call it terutzim, answers, excuses. So in different levels of admission. Number two is regret. It's so hard to really regret. To regret it to the point where it burns you up in shame, embarrassment. How could I do this? And no one knows about it. Only God knows this. When people know about it, of course, it's very embarrassing. But when God only knows about it, how embarrassing is it? Only God knows. Okay, God's merciful. He'll forgive. He'll forget. I'm not really embarrassed. So there's different levels of
regret.
Beautiful. There's many different levels of regret. And then to say I won't do it again. There's many different levels as well. Is he really very definite, or is maybe I won't do it, I'll try my best, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. Everything's different levels. So you see, teshuva itself, there's many levels of teshuva. Many different levels of teshuva. And according to the level of teshuva is the closeness a person gets to Hashem. The deeper the teshuva and the greater the teshuva, the closer a person gets. What is teshuva? Teshuva is coming back. You're making a U-turn in your life and you're going back. Going back to what? V'shavta Hashem Elokecha. You will go back to the Lord your God. So now, teshuva depends on how much teshuva. So a person can say, you know, Hashem is 1,000 miles away. Let's give an example, obviously. Okay, so the guy says, you know what? I'll go 200 miles to Hashem. Another guy would say, I'll go 500 miles towards Hashem. The other guy says, I'll go 900 miles to Hashem. But to go all the way, that's 100% teshuva. That's 100% teshuva. So according to the level of teshuva is the closeness a person gets to Hashem. However, every level of teshuva gets some kind of forgiveness. Right? It's like you did something to someone. I'm really sorry. I really hurt your feelings. Please forgive me. So according to the level of remorse, and according to level of convincing the other guy that you really mean it, is the level of teshuva. So some people are not convincing. I'm sorry, it's okay, it wasn't so bad, don't worry about it. It's a very low level of teshuva, because you're not really saying sorry, you're just saying it wasn't that bad, I didn't really do anything to you. So the level of teshuva is how close a person gets to Hashem. However, so there's different levels of teshuva, but a person doesn't get to purity unless it's 100%. It's not purity. What is impurity? Purity is as if I didn't do it. Anything. It's as if it's erased from the books. That's purity. So a person really has to work at it to purify their hearts and to lower their spirits and to really admit and to really regret. And that's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim in chapter 32 of Psalms. Asher Adam lo yachshov Hashem lo avon. Praise the person who Hashem does not consider his sin. Ve'en beruchu remia. And then it says, and there's no trickery in his heart. When is a person's sin considered erased? when there's no trickery in the person's heart, he really regrets. He's talking truth to Hashem. He's not just saying vidui and saying, okay, I did this, I did this, I did this, but really he has no intention of changing. That's trickery in his heart. So when is the sin really erased? When he really repents and there's no trickery in his heart. Then it's clear. Then he's pure. However, it's very hard to get to that level. He brings an analogy of a garment that needs to be cleaned. You know, you can go to, there's many dry cleaners in town. Okay. So some dry cleaners are good, some dry cleaners not so good. You have to try all the dry cleaners and figure out which ones, you know. So I know, my wife says this one is the best. Okay, so that's where we go. I'm not telling which one it is, but that's where we go. It's a little bit more expensive, but your pants come out clean, your suit comes out clean, your tallit comes out clean, they don't rip the whole thing, they don't burn it. It comes out clean. You know, there's a beautiful joke. The guy goes to the dry cleaner with his tallit. Yeah, everyone knows this joke. It's a very famous joke. And the guy gives him a bill. He says, $10 to clean your tallit, and it was $30 to open all the knots. So, you don't want to go to that kind of dry cleaner. Yeah. So, what does the pasuk say? Ashrei Adam lo yashov Hashem lo avon. Praise is a person that Hashem does not consider his sin. And what's the next line? He has no trickery in his heart. When is the sin not considered sin? When the guy's not tricking Hashem. Some people just trick. They just say the words, but have no intention to change. Yeah, a lot of people go to shul on Yom Kippur, and they go to shul every Yom Kippur they find them there. They drive on Shabbat, they go to kosher. At least they're in shul on Yom Kippur. But did they change? No. They said, Vidui, I'm not going to do it again. I'm sorry, I admit. But you know what? They didn't change. Nevertheless, there is a little bit of tissue over here. Because they did go. They made an effort. They did do something. But it's a gray area until you get to the bottom line, which is no lies. No trickery. The heart is really in it. So he says the proof is, he gives an analogy of cleaning the garments. So you put the garment in water, but you didn't really put good soap. Okay, it comes a little bit cleaner. But not completely clean. You put in some soap, but you didn't put in the best quality soap. It comes in cleaner, but it's not the best quality cleaning. So too with teshuva. Herab kapseni me'avoni. David HaMelech says in Psalm 51, clean my sins. He used the word kibus, which is washing. Wash my sins. T'chabes ha'nefesh min avon. Clean my soul from sin. As a person will clean their heart. So it all starts with cleaning the insides. Cleaning for sin is the inside. It's an inside job. A person's got to work on cleaning their intentions and their motivation and their heart. Shneimar says, "Kapsi mera'a lebecha l'Yerushalayim." Yirmiyahu Navi says to the Jews in Jerusalem at that time, before they were destroyed, "Wash from the evil your heart, Jerusalem." In other words, a person can have their minds full of evil all the time. This guy I'm going to trick, and this guy I'm going to steal, and this guy I'm going to kidnap, and this guy I'm going to do this, and the whole mind is full of evil all the time. Wash the mind from evil. A person's mind should be on holy ground. What does that mean? Thinking about mitzvot, thinking about how can I better myself in the world. How can I better myself? That is a holy mind. That is a good mind. That's a healthy mind. And that's where the Yetzirah tries to push a person in the head. Do this, it'll be better for you. Do this, it'll be better for you. And the truth is, a person does it, it's not going to be better. It's a trick. The Yetzirah's trick. And the best kind of teshuva, as Shlomo Melech says, is teshuva when you're young. The best teshuva is when a person is strong and young and they control themselves. That is the best kind of teshuva. Why? Because the person gets older and they ran out of steam. Right? They don't have the same energy as they had when they were young. And they're doing teshuva, but they're not doing teshuva the same way. Why? Because the teshuva is, I have the same attraction, the same strength, and the same this. Once you have less strength, not the same kind of teshuva. So it's very important to do teshuva when the person still has the strength and the stamina to do certain things. Now we're going to explain what is teshuva. So we have teshuva from the Rambam, which says admission is number one. Here, Shari Teshuva, this is Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona, he focuses on charata, regret. Regret. Yavin Nevavo. Person's heart should understand. Kira Umar Azvot Hashem. It's bitter and very evil to leave Hashem. to leave the mitzvah of Hashem is leaving Hashem. When a person leaves Hashem, a person should feel bad. How could I leave? So now, let's give an analogy. We talked about yesterday how one of the most important prayers of Yom Kippur is Avinu Malkeinu, right? My father, my king. Okay, so if I think of God as a king, I don't really, you know, what connection do I have to a king? If I'm down here, he's up there. I don't have much connection to a king. If I talk about Hashem as my father, then I can start thinking about a new relationship. Then I can start thinking about a personal relationship with someone. I can start thinking of a personal relationship with God. You know, it's very hard because when a person grows up, when a person's a kid, some people love their parents more than others. Usually in my case, it was daughters. Daughters love their father, right? He says, yes, okay, it's a good sign. Daughters love their father, and usually sons love their mothers. I don't know, is that the way it works? I don't know, I think so. It's psychological. So daughters love their fathers because they love their father. My father, I mean, I'm just talking from my experience. And the father loves their daughters, and the sons are like a man, they're other men. So the mother and the son sort of, I don't know, that's my perspective, that's what it seems like. Why we call God our father, so we can have a relationship to our father. Now a person says, you know what, when I was a kid, I was disobedient to my father. My poor father took so much trouble over me. I must have hurt him so badly when I ran away, or whatever, I did this and I did that. I feel bad. Now that I'm mature, now that I've grown up, I really regret how I treated my parents. How many people just don't know how to treat their parents properly? So when they grow up, they feel this guilt that I didn't treat my parents properly. My mother said, do this, and I did the opposite. My father said, do this. He asked me a favor, I did the opposite. So that is a terrible thing, and that's why the regret. So we talk about Hashem as our father. Then a person can feel the regret. I didn't listen to my father. I caused my father pain. It's hard to think of causing pain to God, because God doesn't really feel pain. But if you put it in that perspective, then you really think, he's my father, he gave... How much does God do for us? I mean, if you think about it, he gave us life. He created us. He gives everything we have comes from God, and we forget about him. And we do the opposite. He says this, and we do that. So how much pain are we causing? If you think about God as our father, how much pain are we causing him? So that's what a regret. That's the regret he's talking about. I did so much pain, I regret, because I left God. And I got to pay for this now. Imagine, if you don't pay your tax bill, what happens? There's interest. You know, they charge more interest than you get from the bank. How much is 8% or whatever it is now? It's crazy, because interest rate is like, what is it, 2%? And they're charging you 8%. The IRS charges you 8%. So you let your tax bill mount. I didn't pay my taxes 1 year. By the way, county is the worst. The city is the worst. They can put a tax lien on your house, and you can lose your house for pennies. Uh-huh. The worst. So, IRS, they put you in jail, but they'll take your house away. So I'm just giving an example. A person doesn't do the right thing, and it's mounting. It's not like, I broke one mitzvah, and that's it. No, there's an interest payment on it. There's a punishment on it with interest. It's mounting and mounting and mounting. So a person's going to think of consequences. What are the consequences of doing an avirah? Trouble is, we don't really see the consequences as a problem. So a person has troubles in their life. They have rebellious children. All these are consequences. Look at David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, what the prophet told him, he says, your son is going to die. Terrible. Your children are going to rebel against you. And your children are going to take your wives away from you. And the sword will not depart from your family. Imagine. What can I do? He prayed, tried to break the decrees. He couldn't break the decree. So there's a price of sin. There's a interest payment on sin. There's a kanas, there's a fine. So how can a person not be scared? How can a person not regret? Trouble is, we can't see. In our lives, we can't see the correlation. We don't see what a person does and the payment. We can't connect the dots. It's very hard to connect the dots. So the person says, you know, what I deserve... Well, how can this happen to me? What would I do to deserve it? Okay, don't worry. There's plenty of things a person could have done to deserve it. So a person's going to do teshuva. That's the best thing to do. Okay, so a person's going to do teshuva. How could I not have mercy on my own body? How could I destroy my own body? It's kind of spiritual suicide. Because of a little bit of pleasure for 1 second, how did I lose so much? How did I get so far away from God? How did I destroy myself? So it's like a person who robbed and stole, and he ate, and he got fat. But afterwards, he knows he's going to pay the price. Afterwards, he's going to go to jail. So a person had a benefit, but the benefit didn't last long. Eventually, he's going to pay the price. So same thing over here. A person does an avira, he's having benefit, some kind of benefit. He thinks he's having benefit, he's not really having benefit. Because a person doesn't feel good about it. When you do a mitzvah, you feel good, you know, I feel satisfied. I did some kind of good deed. I feel good about it. Right? A person's got to learn to savor the feeling of doing good. That is the biggest problem today. And that's the best way to educate kids. So a kid does a mitzvah, you tell him, don't you feel good you did a mitzvah? If he says no, the kid has a big problem because he's not going to do mitzvah in the future. If he doesn't feel good about doing a mitzvah, he's going to do mitzvah. Very simple. You got to teach them at an early age that doing a mitzvah is you feel good about it. And then that's it. The kid will be self-motivated himself because every time he does a mitzvah, he's going to feel good about it. And every time you do something bad, a person's going to feel bad about it. That's the trick. The technique is it's got to be self-motivating. And we got to learn to be sensitive enough to feel, if I do an avira, I feel bad myself. I ruin my day.
Meaning knowing
what avira is. Yeah, obviously you know it's an avira and you do it. And then the feeling, it should be a feeling of, I hurt myself. I cut myself. Spiritually injured myself. And when a person does a mitzvah, a person says, well done. You did a mitzvah. I feel good about it. I got closer to God. I became more spiritual. I did the right thing. Just knowing you did the right thing, a person should be happy. Now it says we learned in Brachot, the Gemara in Brachot, it says one rabbi was happy all day. He was smiling all day. Why was he smiling all day? Because he was somech geulah letfilah. Remember that Gemara? He was masmich geulah letfilah, which is he said the bracha Gal Israel and he prayed the Amidah straight away. It wasn't so common apparently in those days. And it says the smile did not leave his face that whole day because he was so happy he did the mitzvah properly. So can you imagine, a person does a mitzvah, they should feel happy, they should feel joy. We should really feel joy, thank God. It's like after Shabbat, you feel good about it, you feel happy, you feel spiritually elevated. And it's amazing because that's where smelling the spices came from. Why smell the spices? Because the people felt depressed. Shabbat's over, oh no, I'm going back to work, oh gosh. I mean, I don't know about you, I'm on work 24/7, I don't care. But I go, now I'm going to go back to work. I'm going back to a weekday. I don't want to go back to my weekday. The people got depressed. So the rabbi said, you know what? Smell spices to make you happy. How many people get depressed at the end of Shabbat? Some people look at their watch. I got to go. There's a movie. There's this. I got to go to New York. I got to go on the plane. I got to go here. I got to go there. Savor every minute. Say, beautiful. I love Shabbat. And that's, if you feel that way, if you act that way, and your kids see you act that way, and the kids will absorb that, you guarantee success. But if you say, I got Yom Kippur, 5 more hours, you keep on grouching, keep on complaining. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. Moshe Feinstein says, it's one of the curses in the Torah, because you do not serve Hashem with simcha v'tov levav. Do not serve God with happiness and a good heart. What's the consequence of that? He says, many Jews left Judaism because their parents always complained. It's hard to be a Jew, it's hard to be a Jew. Many Jews left Judaism because of that. So we have to feel, every time you do a mitzvah, you got to feel, I won the lottery. It's amazing, because you win the lottery. People don't realize you won the spiritual lottery. You got up for minyan, 6 o'clock in the morning for Selichot. Wow, you won the spiritual lottery. Why? How many Jews get up 6 o'clock in the morning for Selichot? You definitely won the lottery, no question about it. You won the spiritual lottery. If you do a mitzvah no one else does, you won the lottery. You're unique. Won the lottery. 1 in 1 million, 1 in 10 million. So you won the lottery. But just doing a mitzvah, you won a lottery. A person's going to feel like, I did something good today. I won the lottery today. Praying for dead people. Give me an example. Praying for people who are far away. Doing a mitzvah for someone else. He says, you know, I'm putting a quarter in the sucker box for the sake of polishing up my grandparents in the world to come. You sponsor a sudash sheet for your grandparents or parents, whatever it is. It's a tremendous mitzvah. It's chesed to the dead. You feel good. I accomplished something. I helped someone who cannot. It's tremendous chesed because they can't pay it back. It's chesed shalemet. It's called true chesed, true kindness. So a person's got to know the consequences of the bad and know the consequences of good. Unfortunately, we can't see it. If we could see it, we'd run away from the bad and we'd run towards the good. We'd run, we'd really, mamash, we'd just race towards it. Opportunity for a mitzvah. And people running to the mitzvah. Wow. Opportunity for avera. You see people running away from the avera. People, you're running away from the movie theaters and running towards the shuls. That's Mashiach. And you know Mashiach came. If you see that happening, Mashiach came. But you know what? In certain societies, in certain groups, they do that. No one ever think about going to a movie theater. You know, now they're talking about this movie, Joker. It glorifies gratuitous evil. That's what the Joker is. Gratuitous evil. And now they're worried. Imagine, the policemen are on patrol. They're worried that it's going to be another mass shooting based on the Joker. Because that's what he lives for. He lives for evil. He lives for. So it's crazy to make a movie like that. And it's the highest grossing movie right now. Just took off. So now who would, in their warped minds, would go and see this movie? Which glorifies evils. Huh?
Some people
may
walk out.
Okay.
Some people.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Some people walk out and some people applaud.
Right. You know, when I was a kid, there was a movie. I can't remember what movie it was. My aunt used to love movies. She took me to the movie. I couldn't sit there. It was like a Roman movie and so much blood and... Oh, I was getting sick.
Jaws.
Huh? Jaws, yeah, that was after. I was really grown up by then. I was a kid. It was disgusting. I mean, just killing. Just the Romans getting through the swords and killing people and blood. And how can you sit through that? I went to the bathroom. I was nauseous. And finally I dragged her away from there. And they didn't forgive me. You ruined that movie. It was such a good movie. You ruined that. I couldn't sit there. We're seeing all the blood and guts. Aye, gratuitous violence for nothing, for no reason. What for? How does a person get a kick from people dying and killing and suffering? People get a kick out of it. It's a mad society. People live. And that's why there are mass shootings. Why? Because people get a kick out of it. It's a lunatic society. We're a lunatic society. We're creating a lunatic monster society. So why? Because people don't realize what damage they're doing to their souls. They can't see the damage to their souls. They got to the point where they're sick. What is the sickness of the soul? How do you know how do you know the body is sick? The Rambam says when people's what goes first, when people get pleasure from the wrong things to eat. People want to eat things that'll damage them. Things which are healthy for them, I don't want it. Things which damage them, that's what they want. They like Coke, but they won't eat apple juice. I'm just giving an example. And you ever put anything, you put money in Coke, you know what's going to happen to the money? Number one is it shines. Beautiful. So one day it just starts shining. Why? Because the Coke ate up everything around it. You keep it there for a week, it starts getting thinner and thinner. Dissolves eventually. So people don't realize. So I like things. So that's a sick person, physical sickness. What is spiritual sickness? When people like to do bad things and they hate to do good things. That's spiritual sickness. So a person's going to see, am I healthy spiritually or not? Do I like coming to the shul? Do I like doing mitzvot? Do I like giving charity? If I do, you're healthy. If you don't, you got to work on it. You got to heal yourself spiritually. So that's what Rambam says in Hilchot Deot, the laws of character traits. He says, just like there's physical sickness, where a person likes to eat the wrong things and drink the wrong things, and won't eat the things which are good for them, so too there's spiritual sickness. Spiritual sickness is when they like to do bad and they hate to do good. That's spiritual sickness. So when a person is physically sick, you have to go to the doctor. And when a person is spiritually sick, he says, you go to the Chacham. Who's the Chacham? Here right now. Rabbeinu Yonah. You go to the Rambam. You go to great rabbis who wrote Musar. Bachia ben Pakuda, guide for the duties of the heart. You go to the greats. So a person gets defiled by the evil of his desires, of his evil inclination. So what will help him? All his belongings, what will help him? If he does evil in the eyes of his master. You know, it's interesting because in the story of Joseph, right? He's in jail. And who's in jail with him? Pharaoh puts two people in jail. Who does he put? The winemaker and the baker. They're also in jail. What happened? What is the Torah telling us? Who cares? Who cares about the winemaker and the baker? Okay, the winemaker helped Joseph eventually to get out of jail. Okay. Why tell us about the baker? It's a mashal. It's a parable. The king, if you disobey a king, you're in trouble. So that is the moral. The moral story is, if you disobey a king, who is the king? Hashem. If you disobey a king, you're in danger. Punishment. People's got to think. If the Pharaoh can hang his baker, what can God do to us? So it's very important to stay on the narrow, straight and narrow path. So look what he says over here. Imra'a b'enei Adonai. A person does evil in the eyes of his master. V'en hechlafti ba'olam hu'olev. How can we switch God for a world which is despairing? For a world which is everlasting. We're using up a world which is not lasting. For a world which is, we're giving up a world which lasts. This world does not last. The next world lasts forever. How can we sacrifice a world which lasts forever for a world which is just fleeting? Right? Only trouble is, the trouble is we can't see it. That's the trouble. So that's why we need to learn Musa, because we have to try and visualize this. I'm giving up my Olam Haba for what? For this thing which doesn't really make sense. For this thing which doesn't really give me pleasure. How? What's going on?
It's an Aesop world.
Pardon?
It's an Aesop world.
So yes, exactly.
So my birthright for lentils.
Yeah. Exactly. And you see so many Jews who sell their birthright for a bowl of lentils. Not even lentils. Just garbage. They're running after garbage. Why? Because that became... Jews are always in the vanguard. That became like the big thing to do, the cool thing to do. Whatever's the cool thing to do, you see the Jews first. Running first. And you know what? The Jews also set the trends of society. Who's running Hollywood? Everyone knows. So they make these movies. Who's making these movies? Unfortunately, instead of making good movies and helping people to get better, we have so much opportunity. Media is so powerful, it can do well, it can do wonders. It can teach kids the best things in the world. You know, in Israel, it's amazing. In Israel, they started comic books. Tanakh comic books. Books of the Bible. You can buy it in English today. It's very good. Just get it for the girls. Very, 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 very good. It's called Marshmallow. Strange word. Okay. It doesn't say Torah. It says Marshmallow. You can buy it over here in Glad 27. They sell these small little magazines, like comic books. They're comic books. And you read about King David, you read about King Shlomo Melech, gives you all the history of the Jewish people in comic book form. Now, you know what? Many years ago, the rabbis would have never allowed it. But today, it has Heksher from the greatest rabbis of Israel. It's amazing. In my time, they would never allow it. You can't make pictures of our greats, that's what they said. Today, you have comic books, which they allow, not just allow it, they put their stamp on it. Why? Because they see the youth are gone. They're going. It's emergency. We're emergency times now. At one time, the youth had no, you know, you're stuck. There's no TV, there's no videos, there's no cell phones, there's no nothing. Okay, what are you going to do? Read the book. Today, there's so many different things to do. We have to make Judaism appealing. We have to teach our children our own past, our own history. They'll read the other comics. You don't give these comics, they'll read other comics. So, such a beautiful idea. So, it's called Marshmallow. Definitely get some books of Marshmallow when you want. Does that sound very... Sounds good, right? Marshmallow. I love marshmallows.
Sounds yummy.
That's it. That's the idea. The idea is to make the Torah yummy. So it's a small little... they sell these little pamphlets like comic books. Each comic book has another episode of history. Tanakh. Torah. Nevi'im. Ketuvim. Amazing. Person learns. You can learn a terrific amount. Even adults can read these books. You get, instead of being a boring thing, you'll see a pictures. It's a vibrant color and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And the kids love it. And kids, it was very hard to teach. All of a sudden, they get the comic book, and they can't put it down. These kids are, you know, they're off the wall. They got ADD, ADHD, and they're running around, and then you give them a comic book, sit down for hours reading a comic book. Amazing. So thank God for these wise rabbis who finally got to the point where they put the heksher on it. And these are black. You can't get holy of the holy. These are Rav Eliashiv's kids. Very high up. But they realize, and that's the wisdom. The wisdom is to realize where are people's minds. People's minds need these things. Can you imagine? A person makes a video. I have a guy who sells, he makes video games. He started thinking about making multimedia, the Bible on multimedia. It costs a fortune. But today you can find, it's not Bible anymore. He got I don't know why that didn't work. Okay, tremendous. Yeah, these stories are very riveting. Yeah, Gideon and Shimshon, yeah, Batman. You have our own Batman. You have our own Superman. Shimshon, Samson. Mm-hmm. It's wild. It's more violent, but it's violent for someone asked that question. You're right. Let me answer you. There was a rabbi in Brooklyn called Rabbi Miller. Have you heard of him? Avigdor Miller. So what happened was in his shul, on Simchat Torah, they always give bags of candies to the kids, right? And they give little gifts, flags, candies. One year, someone donated Superman comics. So they came to the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, is this okay to give out Superman comics to the boys?" He said, "Let me show it to me. Let me read it." So he's reading the comic. He's going, "I can see whether it's good or not." He says, "Okay, it's good. But it's violence, Rabbi. It's good. But it's good. You know why? Because a battle shows a battle between good and evil, and good always wins. There's a moral behind it. If the moral is the bad wins, it's evil. It's evil." In our world, it's a battle of good against evil, and the good should always win. We've got to teach our kids. Life is a battle between good and evil, and good has to win. That's the moral of the story. So even, yes, we're right, it's bad. It's violent. It's violent, but it's violence of good against evil. That's a very important... You have to fight your enemies. What can you do? These guys want to kill you. It's survival. So Shimshon was a judge, and yet the Torah tells us he was a human being, unfortunately. He was a judge with tremendous strength, but he had human frailties as well. So we see over here the truth. This is Torah truth. What's Torah truth? We don't believe in saints. There's no such thing as a saint. If someone is a saint, it's too good to be true. It's false. It lies. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, great man, and yet was not allowed into Israel. Failed. Shimshon failed. Delilah failed. He's a great man. Why? It's human frailty. What can you do? The greatness is not to be perfect. The greatness is to overcome one's frailties. That's the greatness. So that's a very important point. So to know that good, there's a fight. There's a battle going right now. Battle between two forces. What are the two forces? Good versus evil. And we have to know how to beat the evil. And we know how to glorify good, not glorify evil. The Joker glorifies evil. That's the trouble. So kids will grow up. Instead of thinking, you know, Superman... He's always a hero. Why? He's always fighting evil, for fighting the robbers and fighting this. And that's the trouble today. People look down on the cops. Why look down on the cops? Aren't the cops fighting against evil? Well, they're meant to be. If they're corrupt, they're corrupt. They should be fighting evil. If they're fighting evil, they should be the heroes. No, they're cops. They're the enemy. That's the worst thing. Why? Because the guys are keeping control and keeping the society's seats, the streets safe. They're the bad guys now. It's a warped society. Everything... And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. The good will become evil, and the evil will become good. They will say evil is good, and say good is evil. It's a terrible thing. So a person's got to be careful what they do. Why? Because we've got to know what we're losing, what we're gaining. When a person does something, we don't realize we're making a free choice. If I go this way, this is going to happen. If I go that way, this is going to happen. We compared life to making waves. What's it called? Ripple tank. We're making ripples in the ripple tank. You can make good ripples, make bad ripples. Suppose you're going to know, the ripples am I making? Are they good ripples? And that is a key, because those ripples are going to go on forever. You know, today I was at the cemetery. Not because of the funeral, but because of prayers. Some people have been going to cemeteries before, not just before Rosh Hashanah, also before Yom Kippur. So saying prayers for the dead. Now, why are we saying prayers for the dead? Aren't they dead? Why do they need to say prayers? Why do they need our help? And the answer is because the dead are also being judged. They're being judged. What did they do to judge? They were judged already. Why are they being judged? What are they being judged for? They judge on the ripples they left now, which are left in the tank. So a person's judge once, that's deen, that's judgment. A person's judge every year, cheshbon, on the ripples they left. Okay, so now we're going to judge you today. He said, "Well, what did I do? I didn't do anything. I'm in Gan Eden now. What am I being judged?" You're being judged on how you raised your children, because your children did this and this and this and this. Yeah. The children you left behind, that you caused, that you created, are doing this. Or your friends that you influenced are doing this. Or your students that you influenced are doing this. Or the people that you used to chat with and influence they're doing this, and you're going to be judged on what your ripples are in the ripple tank. So that is what we have to think about, is try and leave as many good ripples as possible, because that will help you in the next world. Because you've got to know what's... Well, then, so say, but I'm going to make a movie. If I'm going to make a movie, I'm going to make sure the ripples for the movie are going to be good. Because if the consequences of that movie are going to be bad, then people are going to get killed because of that movie. Because it's all on the person's head who made that movie. If I made a good movie, I make people feel good, I want people to fight for goodness, then that movie is good, and that has good ripples. Ripples, the ripple thing. But anyway, that's going to think far. Far-sighted. If I help this guy who's an evil person, right? It's like Eichmann. What was Eichmann's defense? I was listening to my orders. He was the enabler that caused things to be people to be killed. No, this thing's following orders. He was the enabler that made the plan, helped make the plan, design the plan, and execute the plan to kill Jews. That's who he was. There's no excuse. I was following my orders. No excuse. So it's very important to figure out this idea. This world is fleeting. The next world is forever. Now I'm not going to switch this world which is fleeting for a world which is forever. What am I going to sacrifice? Am I going to sacrifice a few minutes of pleasure in this world for Olam Haba, for the whole next world? How many times we can't see it, we have to visualize it. We've got to visualize these things. And that's why these comics are very good, because they make the Torah visual. You can read and see it and feel it and glance at it and see it, color. At least something good will come out of it. Okay. So a person's got to realize what anything that they do is going to either help their souls or damage their souls. And that's what Prophet Isaiah says. Yadashu koneu. An ox knows its master. Hamor evusbi alav. And a donkey knows its feeding trough. So an ox is a higher level than a donkey. Ox knows the master. The master gives it orders, the ox knows it's the master. The donkey doesn't know it's the master. The donkey just knows who gives the food. He knows where the food is. So the prophet Isaiah is rebuking the Jewish people. The ox knows his master, and the donkey knows his feeding trough. My people don't know me, Hashem says. So we shouldn't be like that. We should know our master. We should know who our master is. We should know the consequences. We should know what's going on in this world. But the only way to know this is by learning Musar. So that is the regret. That's the first stage. Regret. Number two. Azivat achet. Leaving sin. So a person knows this is bad. Keep away from bad. Sur mera. Keep away from bad to the furthest extent. If you know you have certain temptations, don't go past them. So that you can't even go to the main street. Like in the middle of the summer, it's hard to walk on the main street. Keep away. Keep away from these places. So a person's going to know, why do you want to go to a beach in the summertime and see the sights? I mean, why do you want to tempt yourself? Why do you want to cause yourself to sin? So don't go. Why do you want to go to the mall in these times where it's full of lewdness? So it's better to go to a place where there's nothing. You know, the safest place is just stay here. It's hard to get out in the world. There's so many things going on. Okay, the winter's better. So I go to the beach. The best time to go to the beach is now when it's getting cool. No one's on the beach. You just walk on the beach. Walk on the boardwalk. It's beautiful. Before Pesach, around Pesach time. Still cool enough. Nothing going on. You see a lot of Jews there in Pesach time because there's a hotel there. All the Jews go there for Pesach. Near deal. So keep away from bad. Keep away from bad. The person has to make up their minds. I'm going to do teshuva. I'm going to keep away from my temptations. There's a particular restaurant on my route. I love that restaurant, not kosher restaurant. I mean, you know what? I'm going to change my route. There's a particular thing. I like this pub. I'm going to keep away from the pub. I'm going to change my place. There's a Shabbat. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a house close to the shul. So I don't have to drive to the shul. So it's such a small... I don't know. I don't understand people. Why do they have to live so far away when you can just move next to the shul? I don't understand. I just don't understand. I don't get it. What you want to stay far away and you want to go to shul. So what for? Why can't you move? Is it such a big change of your lifestyle? I don't know. I just can't understand it. Because I never had that nisayon, never had that test. My father bought a house. First question was, how close to the shul is it? That was his consideration. I never had that test. Never grew up far away from a shul and drive on Shabbat. Chas v'shalom, don't even think about it. Can you imagine how much damage it does to a person's soul? Because every time you press the gas, you're making fire. Boom, boom, boom. Making fire. Every time you make a fire, 39 lashes. If you do it on purpose. If you do it, and so the guys, I don't know. I didn't think about it. I need to get an electric car. That's less of it. Anyway, so it's really a rough situation. So move. No, I can't move. I'm stuck. I like this area. I like the neighborhood. I like the people. Someone told me I like the card games. Because they play card games. It's an old age place, and they play card games. And I can't live in a place where there's no card games. Of course not. So it's a very big. Everyone has a yetzer. Everyone has temptation. But a person's going to think about consequences. So what happens? A person's driving on Shabbat. You think, what do you think the kids are going to do? They're going to do less or more? How many kids are going to say, you know what, Daddy, I'm not going to drive? I had a kid in Vancouver. He used to walk 10 miles to shul. Sadiq. Very unusual. He was a boy who was interested in truth. I want truth. Tell me what's true. I think the Torah is true. I'm going to go all the way. He didn't mess around. Didn't fool around. Walked. Imagine his father used to blame me. His father used to curse me. What do you do to my son? You made him mad. He walks the shul 10 miles. He's mad and you're mad. You're a mad rabbi. And he was the president of the shul. That's why I'm here. No, I'm just joking. But eventually he got so proud of his son. His son became a rabbi. So proud of his son. But that's it. That's the person's going to realize. We're going to know. And try and figure out. It's hard to do because you've got to visualize. You've got to visualize Gan Eden. You got to visualize the opposite. Say, listen, I want to do good. I want my soul to grow. I want my soul to be better. I want to be a better person. I want to be close to God. I don't want to be the other side. Okay, we'll stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. We'll all be worthy of the